Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your help now as we look at the Bible together. Please open our eyes to behold wonderful things from within. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I wonder if you ever feel like saying, is this all there is? Is this all there is? All sorts of situations we might want to say that. Perhaps you're feeling dissatisfied or struggling with your present Christian experience. Maybe you're not able to conquer a particular habit, sinful habit. Or you hear someone having an amazing experience as a Christian and you just never have anything like that. Or you thought after so many years that prayer would be easier and it's still not getting any easier. Is this all there is? Or maybe you're approaching the end of life and you're wondering if this life is it. Heaven's okay in theory, but in practice, is it real? Is this all there is? Or maybe we're behaving as if it is all there is. That's another thing we can do. So our non-Christian friends, they say, when I die, I rot. And so what they try and do is pack as much as they can into this life as possible. So they go and see the Northern Lights in the Arctic Circle. They swim with dolphins in Miami. They smoke a weird herb in a Tibetan temple and that kind of thing. Everything into this life. Sorry if you've done that, anyone. but perhaps we do that. Perhaps we behave as if this life is all there is. We're a Christian, but we trust in Jesus, but we live as if this world is all there is, and we take that kind of double view for granted. Well, today's passage, when it comes to the question, is this all there is? The answer that today's passage gives is no. No. Press on instead. Press on because there's more. Press on with Christ for heaven. This is not all there is, says the passage. And our Christian experience now is actually imperfect. It's partial. And there's a future in store which is glorious and complete. And when we see that future, that starts to change how we live today. Press on with Christ for heaven. So maybe we are dissatisfied or struggling with our Christian life. Then take heart. Today we're going to see that we have been grabbed by Jesus. Maybe we are living for this world. Well, this passage is going to encourage us to change our thinking because there's something better on the way. Maybe we are nearing the end. This passage says, press on. Press on with Christ for heaven. We're still in Philippi. That little Macedonian town, which was a Roman colony. Paul was the one who first took gospel there. And it's a small church, which has had opposition right from the very start of when they began. But Paul describes them as partners in the gospel in the beginning part of the letter. And because of that, because they're partners in the gospel, he continues to urge them to live lives worthy of that gospel. So that people will see them and hear them and turn to Jesus. And we've got two parts to our passage today. And the first part is this. Think like a citizen of heaven. Think like a citizen of heaven. In other words, have this attitude that we're not there yet, but we're on the way. Press on with Christ for heaven. Think like a citizen of heaven. Have a look at verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This word, press on, is a running word. It's not sort of like rugby players practicing and pushing things. It's actually running, pressing on. And it's quite good because it's about running a long race. And you know that Paul often uses this kind of language of running the race of being a Christian. Now, when you're running a long race, and some of us had experienced this, at any stage you could drop out. You could just say, oh, that's it, I've had enough. At every stage you need help and determination to continue. And when you run a long race, there's a prize for every finisher. They do that with these half marathons and marathons. Everyone gets something to stick around their neck at the end. That you could drop out at any stage. You need help and determination to continue. And there's a prize for every finisher. And we see that here in this passage. So, first of all, he says he knows, Paul says, he knows he hasn't made it yet. hasn't made it yet. Verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this. Now, the all this he's talking about is what we were talking about last week, that full knowledge of knowing Jesus and his power, his resurrection, and all that, all those things. He hasn't made it yet. He hasn't grasped all of that yet. So there's a real degree of humility there with Paul, isn't there? And it's a reminder to us that we shouldn't expect to know everything today. We shouldn't expect heaven today. There's more to come. So he hasn't made it yet, but he knows that Jesus has taken hold of him. What a great thing. Verse 12, again. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Isn't that brilliant? Christ Jesus has taken hold of you. If you're trusting in Jesus today, then when you became a Christian, Jesus grabbed you and he's not going to let go. And he grabbed you so that he could help you to get to the end, to that prize which you're waiting for. Paul says his eyes are fixed on the goal, verse 13. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on, there's that word again, towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. He's got his eyes fixed on the end of the race. And the end of the race is the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. It's eternal life, isn't it? It's life with Jesus. That's the prize. Not a beautiful green field with lovely trees and marshmallow dripping from them. The prize is to be with Jesus. That's what the great thing of heaven is. And so he's pressing on. He's running this race. And as he does, he seeks to grow and keep on maturing. Verse 15. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some things you think differently, if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. So he's saying there's no other way than going with Jesus. And if you think there is, well, have a little think, and you'll realise there isn't. And meanwhile, don't sit back. Let us live up to what we've already attained. So seeking growth and maturity. Think like a citizen of heaven. That's great as we read this to remember that Paul, if you remember earlier in the letter, Paul was talking about selfish ambition and saying to them, don't have selfish ambition. And here you can see he hasn't, can't you? There's no selfish ambition here. It's not me focused. It's not for his immediate gain. It's not about his status. It's all looking to Christ. It's humble. There's no selfish ambition here. He's a great example. But it does reflect those longings which he has for himself, and we've already seen in the letter, and the longings he has for the Philippians. So if you think back to chapter 1, verse 21, he said that for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's saying that again, isn't he? And for the Philippians, he said in chapter 1, verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. This would be doing that, having this heavenly perspective, thinking like a citizen of heaven. Chapter 2, verse 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And this is the mind, the citizen of heaven mind, that he wants them to have, that follows Christ, that echoes Christ, and presses on towards what is ahead. So think like a citizen of heaven, running that long race. You could drop out, but Christ has taken hold of you. You need help and determination to continue, and Jesus has got hold of you for that, and you can keep your eyes fixed on that goal. There's a prize for every finisher. It's that goal of heaven with Christ. Well, what does that mean to us as we're seeking to live for Jesus? Well, where are our treasures and joys and our wonder and our satisfaction to be found? Where are we looking for? They're not going to be found in this world, because anything that we latch onto in this world for that kind of thing is temporary. It doesn't last. They are found by knowing Jesus, by being grabbed by him and found in him. That's the view of a citizen of heaven. How do we appreciate Jesus more? By spending time in his word, by seeing him through God's word, the Bible. Maybe we are a bit dissatisfied and struggling with our Christian life. Yes, that's actually going to be happening, isn't it? Because God's work is not finished in us. There's more for him to do in us now. Perfection will only come then, in the future. And like Paul, we have to say, I have not already obtained all this. I've not already arrived at my goal. So maybe we are dissatisfied. Maybe someone might, as a Christian, think they've made it and look down on other Christians. Well, there's a warning here, isn't there? Think again. Even the Apostle Paul could not say he'd made it. Press on. Think like a citizen of heaven. Well, if we're to think like a citizen of heaven, which is about running this long race, we ought also to act like a citizen of heaven. And instead of running, now we're going to think about walking. Walking. So verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Now this live word, which crops up lots of times in Paul's letters, is the walking word. So he's got these two great ways of describing the Christian life. Running, well he's got more than two, but two of them are running and walking. Walking, walking with Christ, keeping in step with the Spirit. And when you're walking, the question comes, which path will you take? Claire and I went to visit the island of Capri, which is off Italy, for one of Claire's birthdays a little while ago. 21st birthday? And it's beautiful, and there's lovely paths around the edge of the island, and you can look down on all these scenes across the sea. And as we were going down one of these paths, we came to a point where it had completely fallen away. And there was nothing left of the path but just hillside going straight down. And coming the other way was another walker who sort of just walked up onto the edge of the hillside and walked past us and went over this gap in the path, didn't they? And I looked at it and said, nope. No way. There were barriers saying no entry, so I was being sensible. So what do you do when you come to something like that? Do you, like the other walker, climb around the barriers and risk your life to die? Because they did actually die, the other person. Or do you go around a different way? Well, which path do you take? There are two paths here in this passage, and one takes you the right direction, verse 17, and one takes you the wrong direction, verse 18. So verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So walk this way. Or, verse 18, for, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Which path are we going to take? Paul is encouraging them, the Philippians, to walk the path that he's on. Walk the path that Timothy is on. Remember Timothy from a couple of weeks ago? Walk the path that Epaphroditus is on, even though it led him almost to dying for Jesus. Walk the path that Jesus walked. Follow his example. In chapter 2. Now what's the difference between these two paths that he describes? He lines it all out. Verses 18 and 19, he describes one of the paths, the one of being an enemy of the cross. And verse 20 and 21, he describes the path that he's walking and he wants them and us to walk. So, one path is the path of being enemies of the cross. Look at the end of verse 18. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. But their destiny, verse 19, is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. So where are they going? What's their destination? It's destruction, isn't it? Their destiny is destruction. What do they worship? They worship pleasure. Their God is their stomach. It's whatever satisfies now, whatever you can get now. What do they enjoy? They enjoy sin. Their glory is in their shame. So anything that actually is a rejection of God, yes, they say, this is great. What drives them? What is their motivation? Their minds are set on earthly things. It just describes everyone around us, doesn't it? Why are they enemies of the cross? Because everything that the cross is about, they basically say, is rubbish. We don't want that. We don't need it. Get rid of it, they say. But there's the alternative, and this is what Paul wants us to, the path that Paul wants us to take, and Christians everywhere. And that is to have the heavenly perspective, to be citizens of heaven. I love this picture because it's like having a passport, isn't it? We've got, most of us probably, I think all of us probably got British passports. And when you've got a British passport, you're a British citizen. But maybe you decided you want to be an American for some reason. Probably not something you might want to do these days, but maybe you did. And you applied and you got one of their green cards or whatever it is. And eventually they send you a passport in the post. Brilliant. You have a passport for another country. You're not there yet, but you've got the passport. So one day you'll go there on the plane or whatever and you'll arrive and you'll be a citizen. Well, you're already a citizen now, but you're not there yet. And that's what it's like being a citizen of heaven. We've got the passport because of Jesus. And we're just waiting for that plane trip. Death or Jesus coming back first. Which will take us to be where we are already citizens of. Citizens of heaven. And it's described in verse 20 and 21. Our citizenship, but, he says, but. So apart from that other stuff, but. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So where are we going? If we're trusting in Jesus, if we have this heavenly perspective, if we're walking the way of Jesus, where are we going? Well, our destination is heaven. What do we worship? We worship God, the Saviour, Jesus. Our God is not our stomach, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. What do we enjoy? We enjoy Jesus and his transforming power in our lives. Or we're looking forward to that. And what motivates us? What is that future hope? That one day, with that power that he has that brings everything under his control, one day he'll transform us, our lowly bodies, whatever kind of mess they're in, to be like his glorious body. And instead of being enemies of the cross of Christ, we love it, don't we? Because it's through the cross of Jesus that all these things are possible. It's through the cross that we can have the destination of heaven. It's through the cross that Jesus is our Saviour. It's through the cross that we can enjoy Jesus, otherwise we never would, because without our sins forgiven, he would be an enemy to us. And it's the cross that gives us that motivation, because he's won us this promise of the future, where we've got passports for already, citizens of heaven. Look at the difference that being a Christian, trusting in Jesus makes. It's huge, isn't it? In particular, the fact that we're looking forward to changed bodies. Isn't that a great thing? I look at my body in the mirror sometimes, and I long for that day. You know, I'll have hair. I won't have to wear hearing aids. I'll be able to hear Jesus without hearing aids. My kidneys will be the right size, and they'll work. And you may have other things that you're longing for, when he will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. In the Church of England funeral service, when we pray the prayer of committal, when either the coffin is lowered into the grave or the curtains come round the coffin at the crematorium, whatever it is, there's an optional line in it. And when we've done the earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, there's an optional line, which is this verse, basically, where Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so they'll be like his glorious body. And that suggestion is that if someone has died from a particularly difficult illness or something, It's an expression of hope for that family, isn't it? Because they know that that body was maybe riddled with cancer or spent years not working properly. And yet, now, with Jesus, transformation to glory. And having that view, having that perspective, that passport in our hands, is to change how we walk today and our choice of which path to walk on. Press on. Says Paul, press on with Christ for heaven. So, what is it that motivates us and drives us? Is it is our God our stomach? Or is it Christ, Jesus our Saviour? Do we look for satisfaction with those temporary things in the world? Or in Jesus? Or do we glory in our shame? Do we rejoice in things that actually God detests? Shameful things in God's sight. Do we realise that we're going to get repaired gloriously by him? Think like a citizen of heaven. Act like a citizen of heaven. Run towards Christ. Walk with Christ. Press on with Christ for heaven. Maybe we are wondering, is this all there is? Perhaps we're dissatisfied with our Christian life. Paul says to us, keep going. We may be surrounded with all sorts of things that are against us in Jesus. Keep going. You're a citizen of heaven. Maybe we look at people around us who aren't Christians. We're just saying, when I die, I rot. No. They need to change their thinking. It's not all there is. And if we're living for this world as a Christian, we can change our behaviour and not be an enemy of the cross or side with the enemies of the cross, but live for Christ. And maybe we are approaching the end. And Paul encourages us to keep going because we've been grabbed by Jesus. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the encouragement and the challenge of a passage like this. For the encouragement that Jesus is the one, the Saviour we're waiting for. There is a day coming that we're eagerly looking forward to when the citizenship that we know we have now will be complete and fulfilled in him, and we'll receive that prize, that goal that we're longing for. Thank you for that encouragement. And the challenge, not to be an enemy of the cross, not to side with those who have exchanged you for just the stomachs, as it were. Lord, help us to see where that might be in our lives and to run the race with Christ as our goal, to walk as Paul, Timothy and Epaphroditus and the Philippians were urged to walk with Christ the path of being a citizen of heaven. Help us to press on, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.